Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. 1 Kings 18, in your Scofield Bible, page 412. Beginning with the 17th verse, we'll read responsively through verse 24, the text verse for this morning's message being the 24th verse. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 17 through 24, page 412. And let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks. Let them choose 1 bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for this good day, for this opportunity once again to hear your word preached. What a privilege. Thank you for that freedom. Thank you for the joy that we sense here at this church, for the presence of thine that we sense and feel. We thank you for that. We thank you for a faithful man of God. Thank you for our preacher. We pray for your help now in this service in a very special and real way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thou hast brought us once again to this place, and thou art here. We know that, because thou hast said, where two or more are gathered in your name, you would be there. Now there are several thousand of us here today, and we're gathered in your name, so thou art here. But it's possible, I guess, for us to realize your presence without really feeling your presence. May we both be both aware of your presence this morning and feel your presence. Please make it so. In Jesus' name, amen. Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves, the false teachers, 850 of them, to a contest. He said, Let's go up on Mount Carmel. Let's build an altar. Let's decide who's right. Ahab, the king, had pointed to Elijah and said, Art thou he that troublest Israel? Elijah said, No, it's not me that's troubling Israel. Says you and all your pussyfooting preachers are causing trouble in Israel. You know, all over the country they point their finger to fundamental believers and say, Hey, you bunch of troublemakers. No, we're not troublemakers. We're righteousness makers is what we are. The thing that's troubling America is the X-rated movie crowd, and the Hollywood crowd, and the dope crowd, the liquor crowd, the humanist crowd, and so forth. That's what's troubling America today. But Ahab had said to Elijah, Art thou he that troublest Israel? Elijah said, No, you're the one, and your crowd is causing all the trouble. And so Ahab and Jezebel and the prophets of Baal and the groves challenged Elijah's statement. Elijah said, Okay, let's just find out. Let's find out who's God. He said, We'll build an altar on Mount Carmel. We'll put a sacrifice up there, an animal up there. And you and your prophets can pray for fire to fall. And then I will pray for God to send fire. And then he said, we'll see who is God. He said, and he made a statement about like this. He said, we'll let God be God. We'll let God be God. What a startling statement. Man letting God be God. As if man could do something to keep God from being God. A surgeon is a surgeon without a scalpel. But a surgeon can't be a surgeon without a scalpel. A carpenter is a carpenter without a hammer. But a carpenter can't be a carpenter without a hammer. A plumber is a plumber without a wrench. But a plumber can't be a plumber without a wrench. An artist is an artist without a brush. But an artist can't be an artist without a brush. A sculptor is a sculptor without a chisel. But a sculptor can't be a sculptor without a chisel. And God is God without the help of man. But God can't be God without the help of man. God has so arranged it until he is dependent upon man. Now, he is already God, but he cannot be God or exercise himself as God without man. A verse that is similar to this is found in Psalm 78, verse 41. Yea, they turned their back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Can a piece of clay, a little dust held together with a little water, a little clump of clay like me, can I limit the Holy One of Israel? That's what God says. And can I keep God from being God? Oh, yes. That's what God says. What God is saying here is, let me do what I can do. I'm God. There's some things that nobody can do but me. There's some things that only I can do. Let me do what I can do. And Elijah simply said, let God be God. And this morning, God looks down to America and says, let me be God. He looks at your life and says, let me be God. He looks at churches across America worshiping with formal services and deadness. I was in Winston-Salem this week. And on the television there, they had the Southern Baptist channel called the Acts Television Network, A-C-T-S, Acts Television Network. And I watched five sermons from Southern Baptist preachers. Not one single one of them read from the King James Bible. Not one single one read the King James Bible. And I'd been reading this passage and this verse had been on me, and I jumped up several times and I said, fellas, let God be God. That's what he's saying. Let God be God. People play religion this morning in churches across America, and God said, let me be God. Let me be God. And God comes to you this morning and says, I've got some things I want to do, but I'm limited to things that I can do. I've limited myself to things that I can do. And so God says, let me be God. I'm the only one that can answer prayer. Let me answer prayer. Give me a chance to work. Give me vessels to use. Give me a hammer to use. Give me a scalpel to use. Give me a brush to use. Give me a pen to use. Let me be God. I'm the omnipotent God. I'm the omniscient God. I'm the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I'm the omnipresent God of gods. He said, I can do so much, but I've got to have somebody that'll let me be God. Elijah said, let God be God. Let God be God. Let me be God. First place, let God save you. Only God can save you. Your church membership can't save you. And your pope can't save you. And your preacher can't save you. And your rabbi can't save you. And your communion can't save you. And your sacraments can't save you. And your goodness can't save you. And your heritage can't save you. And your baptism pool can't save you. And your communion can't save you. Only God can save you. And God comes this morning to those of you that are trusting your good works to save you. And God said, let me be God. Let me be God. Let God be God. He comes this morning to those of you trusting your baptism or your church membership, or your communion, or your confirmation, or you being sprinkled as a baby. And God said, let me be God. Let me be God. The truth is this morning, some of you are letting your good works be God. What you do, that your good works are God. You're trusting your good works to save you, and God said, let me be God. You're trusting your good works as God. And those this morning in this room who are trusting the communion cup to save you. You're trusting the sacrament to save you.
Some guy gave you a little wafer and stuck it on your tongue, put a little ashes on your head. He can put ashes of Sodom and Gomorrah on your head, and you'll die and go to hell because God is God. You can drink enough communion cup and juice that you'll swim out of this place in grape juice, and you'll die and go to hell because God is God. And God said, quit trusting your own good works. Let me be God. Quit trusting your own church membership. Let me be God. Quit trusting your sacrament. Let me be God. Quit trusting your confession to a priest. Let me be God. God says, I want to be God. And I say this morning, let God be God today. Let God be God. Walk down this aisle. Turn your back on your sacrament as far as salvation is concerned. Turn your back on your good works as far as salvation is concerned. Turn your back on trusting your church membership or your denomination or your baptism or your confirmation. And walk down this aisle this morning and say, I am going to let God do only what only God can do. I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior and let God save me, make me a new creature, wash me in the blood of Christ, prepare me for heaven, write my name down in the book of life. I say, this morning, people, let God be God. Let God be God. Let God do what only God can do. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Let God be God. And there's a second thing I want to say about letting God be God. Let God not only save you, but let God empower you. Let God empower you. For only He can. Only God can give you power. You preacher boys, when you go out to preach, your personality is not going to do it. Your charming manner is not going to do it. Your winsome way is not going to do it. Your dynamic is not going to do it. Your eloquence is not going to do it. Your good looks is not going to do it. I'm saying, let God be God. Only God can give power. Only God can fill a preacher. Only God can fill a Christian. Only God can give supernatural power. Let God be God. Let God be God. He sees us serve in our own strength and says, I hunger to strengthen you. There's a passage over there in James chapter 4, verse 5, where it says, the Holy Spirit lusteth in envy. He lusteth in envy. And what it means is this. The Holy Spirit sees us serve in our own strength, and He says, that's my job to give you strength. He lusteth to give you strength. And is envious of whatever synthetic strength you lean upon. He said, I lust. What's that word lust means? I'm hungry. I have an insatiable appetite. Let me do my work. Let me be God. Let me give you strength, is what He says. He sees us teach our Sunday school classes in our own energy. And He lusteth to be our God and to empower us. He sees us run our bus routes in the flesh. And God says, I lust, I envy that on which you lean. I lust to do my work. He sees us go soul winning in our own strength. And God says, let me be God. It's my job to give you strength to go soul winning. It's my job to give you victory on your bus route. It's my job to help you teach your Sunday school class. It's my job to give you power while you sing a special. It's my job to help you while you preach a sermon. And God said, let me do it. Let me be God. And I say this morning with Elijah of old, as he stood and looked in the face of Ahab, 850 false prophets, and he looked up and said, let God be God. And that's what America needs this morning. A generation of people that quit trusting their education to save this country and let God be God. A generation of people that quit trusting humanism to save this country and let God be God. A generation of people that quit trusting man's reasoning to save this country and let God be God. Let God be God. That's what he's saying. I was in Tyler, Texas several years ago preaching Central Baptist Church. Auditorium seated about 1,600 people. It was packed and jammed that night. And I was up here and the pastor led the opening prayer. I noticed sitting over here on my left, a little lady in a wheelchair, middle-aged lady, sitting over here on my left. As I often try to do during a prayer, I tiptoed down during the prayer and shook her hand and said, lady, I'm so glad to see you tonight. I appreciate your coming. And I'm glad and honored that you're here. She thanked me and wept a bit. Finished preaching, the sermon was over, she rolled a wheelchair up here, and somebody walked up and said, Brother Hiles, little lady wants to see you, and I went down there where she was.
She said, "Brother House, thank you for coming back a while ago. It made me feel real honored and welcomed." And I said, "You're certainly welcome." I said, "Ma'am, what is your trouble?" She said, I think she said multiple cirrhosis. She may have said muscular dystrophy, but I'm 90% sure it was multiple cirrhosis. And I said, "Ma'am, I'm so sorry." She said, "Don't feel sorry for me." She said, "God's good to me, and I have no complaints." But she said, "There's one problem about this that really hurts. You see, Dr. Hiles, I'm married, and I love my husband, and my husband loves me. And I have to sit in this wheelchair, and I have to watch somebody else clean my husband's house." I bet some of you gals would like to do that. I'd like to say this morning to all you mothers, for example, this is Mother's Day. And we'd like to go home and fix lunch and wash dishes for you. We'd like to, but we're not going to. We'd just like to. Bill Harvey one time said, "You know, I'd like to have a date with Elizabeth Taylor again." I said, "Bill, did you have a date with Elizabeth Taylor?" "No," he said, "one time before I wanted to have a date with Elizabeth Taylor." So, on Monday through Saturday, we don't give a flip whether you wash dishes or not. But on Mother's Day, we do give a flip. While you do it, we're going to give a flip. But anyway, but she said, "Brother Hiles, I sit in this wheelchair and watch another do what I want to do." She said, "It's my job to clean that house. And somebody else does it for my husband, and I love him." She said, "Somebody else washes and irons his shirts, and that's my job, and I wish I could do it." She said, "Somebody else cooks his meals, and I sit there in a wheelchair and watch somebody else cook his meals. Brother House, I want to do that. I love him." And she said, "I'd give anything in all the world if I could just clean his house, or wash and iron his shirts, or cook his meals, and they'd give anything in the world if I could." And that's what God says this morning. God said, "Let me be God. Don't let somebody else save you. Nobody else can. But don't trust somebody else to save you. Let me be God. Don't trust your own good works to save you. Let me be God. Don't trust your joining a church to save you. Let me be God. Don't trust the Baptists, the Catholics, the Episcopalians, Presbyterians, or Methodists, or Church of Christ to save you. Let me be God. Don't preach in your own strength. Let me be God. Don't teach in your own strength. Let me be God. Don't go bus calling in your own strength. Let me be God. It's my job. And I lust to give you the power. Let God empower you." 40 years ago today, Mrs. Howells and I stood beside my mother and my sister at the O'Neill Funeral Home in Dallas, Texas, the same funeral home that embalmed the body of President Kennedy, and looked in the face of my daddy. 40 years ago, this afternoon, in a little grave in Italy, Texas, we laid my daddy's body in the grave. 40 years ago, night before last, I mean the very, it was on a Friday night, May 11th, my daddy died on Saturday morning, May 12, and was buried Sunday afternoon, May 13. Not only Mother, it was Mother's Day that year too. Mother's Day, May 13, 1950. Mother's Day, May 13, 1990. 40 years ago, Friday night, I went to the woods and I prayed all night long for God to give me His power. I cried across the woods, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" That morning, 40 years ago, yesterday morning, I went down and broadcast on the old-time religion broadcast. Came back to my little country parsonage. Sat there in the living room, was reading the Dallas Morning News, Marshall, Texas. Phone rang. I picked it up. The operator said, "Long distance, Reverend Jack Hiles." I said, "This is Brother Hiles." A male voice said, "My name is Smith. Reverend, I work with your father, hanging drywall and laying oak floor." He said, "This morning in Irving, Texas, your dad was up on a sawhorse putting a drywall on the ceiling of a house. And he slumped over dead. Your dad just dropped dead with a heart attack." I never answered him. I just put my telephone down and fell on my face and began to cry. My daddy had sat in the service and heard me preach just a few months before. And I was a powerless preacher. And my daddy didn't get saved. 40 years ago this next week, I went back to my dad's grave. And I knelt on my dad's grave and then threw myself face down on my dad's grave. And I stayed there. I do not know how long I stayed there, but I said, God, I'm not going to get off my face till you give me your power. I'm not going to be a powerless preacher. I'm not. I'm not going to walk in the pulpit again and not have the mighty power of God. And bless God, 40 years ago this next week, for the first time in my life, I knew what it was to have the mighty power of God. And now for 40 blessed, wonderful years, God has been God in the life of this little country preacher. I say this morning, let God be God. Let God be God. Let God save you. Only He can. Let God empower you. Only He can. Number three, let God strengthen you. Let God strengthen you. I think, in fact, I know. That's why sometimes God comes down and makes you weak. He wants to be God. Only God can strengthen you. Not the psychiatrist. Not the psychologist. Not the fancy television talk show self-styled Dumbo experts. Only God can strengthen you. You want to know why sometimes God allows trials to come in our lives? God wants to show Himself as God. God comes and says, I'm going to make you weak. And He says, now let me be God. And I'll show you and I'll show the entire world that I am God. That's why sometimes God comes down and gives you burdens to bear. God wants to show Himself strong. God wants to show Himself as God. Don't run from the burdens. Don't run from the heartaches. Don't run from the problems. God says, I want to be God. And God goes up and down these pews this morning and says, is there anybody can let me be God? Is there anybody here who, when you're weak, will rely upon me and me only and cast yourself at my feet and say, oh God, I've got to have your help. And God says, hot dog, now I get to be God. Is there anybody here, God says, who'll let me be God? Anybody here this morning whose name's not written in heaven? He said, anybody here that'll trust me as Savior and let me be God? Anybody this morning on your last leg, you don't know how you're going to make it tomorrow, don't know how you're going to face tomorrow, God comes along and says, hey, here's my opportunity. Won't you let me be God? Won't you lean upon me? Won't you trust me? Won't you ask my help? Won't you seek my power? Won't you seek my strength? God says, let me be God. Many a little woman in this room this morning who reared family. God bless you, dear mothers. I was down in Winston-Salem. We were having lunch, preachers all together, noontime, and looked over and I saw a little lady here. She looked like she was 18 years old. I don't know. She must have been 25. Of course, she had three little kids. And she was trying so hard to keep her makeup just straight. But every kid there was either licking it off or wiping it off with a hand. She took off to walk to get the food. She had to take one kid on her hip, one kid in her arm, and one kid she's carrying in the inside, I think. And she went up to feed. And I said to the pastor, thank God I'm a man. Thank God I'm a man. Oh, brother. God comes this morning and says to some little mother whose load is heavy today, God says, let me be God. Let me do my work. Let me be God. God comes this morning. And by the way, I was thinking this way last week. That's basically what we're doing with these folks that graduate from Howells Anderson College this year. We're sending you across the country to let God be God. Let God be God. Let America know that God is God. I don't mean just telling them. I mean, let God do God's business and God's work. Let God empower you. Let God strengthen you. Let God comfort you. Let God help you. Let God lift you. Let God build the great churches across America. Let God be God. That's why God comes sometimes. And God says, I'm going to give you a heartache. I'm going to cause your heart to break right in two. And you look up and say, dear God, I don't understand this. Why? If God could speak audibly, and if He chose to speak audibly, God would speak to you and say, I just want my chance to show myself as God. That's what Elijah meant. I think God in heaven said, whoopee, I get to be God. Boy, I was talking to Randy Erickson yesterday, well, this morning. Mrs. Erickson is not going to be here long unless a miracle takes place. Doctors say maybe 2 weeks. I was talking to Randy this morning. Last night as he walked out of the office, I talked to him. He walked out and I said, Randy, I said, if your wife gets to go to heaven, and she will when she dies, won't that be a wonderful thing? And Randy said, I'd like to be there when she gets her new body. He said, I'm asking God to video it so I can see it when I get there. And God looks down and says, let me be God. God says, I can save you. Don't trust anything else to do it. Let me be God. I close with this. I've learned some things in 43 years of pastoring. I'm not smarter than you. I've just been around a lot longer than most of you. And I've seen more things about people than all any of you have. And I've seen some things. And I believe me when I say it, I have some of the answers. I really do. Not because I learned it, because I'm smart. I've seen what works and what doesn't work. That's the only, but I know. I know what works. I know what doesn't work. I want to say to you young people sometimes, young people, you don't trust me and you go out and want to live on your own life and do your own thing. And I want to say, let me be your pastor. Let me be your pastor. I want to say to some of you parents that you wonder why your kids won't obey you. Let them sit there in front of a box and watch a bunch of whores sleep together and drink together in your living room. I want to wave my hand and say, look, I'm not smarter than you are. I've just found out some things you didn't get to find out. While you were being a plumber, I've been counseling. While you've been a carpenter, I've been working with people. And I want to say, let me be your pastor. God comes this morning and says, I'm God. I have all the answers. Let me be your God. Let me be your God. I've often wondered why God let my daddy die a drunkard's death. I've told him a million times, I guess. You know I was sincere. I wasn't a great preacher. I'm still not. But you know I'm sincere, and I was then. I understand it. Maybe God just needed some young preacher that didn't have much talent by nature, didn't have much ability naturally, who failed public speaking in high school. Maybe God just needed some young preacher where, if he did it, everybody would know it was God. I'll never forget the first time I preached in Kansas City, Missouri. I was preaching at the Kansas City Baptist Temple. I looked down and saw the program. Dr. John Rice on the program. Dr. R.G. Lee on the program. Dr. Bill Rice on the program. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. on the program. Brother Lester Roloff on the program. Dr. Lee Robertson on the program. And then it said, closing message, Jack Hiles. I was only about 40 at the time. And I looked at that lineup and I said, oh my God, what am I doing bringing the closing message? With this great list of giants on the program. I'm no Lee Robertson. I don't have his kingly appearance or his Moses-like demeanor. I'm no Bob Jones Sr. I don't have his brilliance and his charm of wit. I'm not the philosopher he was. I'm no Lester Roloff. I'm no John Rice. I know that. And I wondered why a little country preacher whose daddy was an alcoholic, whose mama barely made ends meet to keep him fed, why he was the main speaker that night. And it dawned on me, I guess God just needed somebody who was not a thoroughbred. God just needed somebody without a pedigree. He just needed some little preacher. He could come down and put his stamp on him and say, I believe in that fellow's life. I can be God. Let God be God. Let God be God. Is your heart broken this morning? Let Him comfort you. You're crushed beneath the load? Let Him lift you. So weary you can't walk another step? Let Him strengthen you. You're lost? Let Him save you. Powerless? Let Him empower you. He comes and says, let me be God. Let me be God. Let me be God. And I say with Elijah of old today, as he said on Carmel, I say it this morning to my people, let God be God. Let God be God. Our Heavenly Father,